This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities. And no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. ExpressPros.com.
Are they the smartest show in the Bay Area?
You guys are an intellectual feast for the smart sports fan in the Bay Area.
Wow.
You're pretty much the smartest guy on the radio.
I agree.
Good Lord, how big is your ego?
Are they the funniest show in the Bay Area?
Give it a laugh. Come on. You're a funny guy. Come on. Give me a laugh.
You are funny, dude.
Hit that S again.
Are they the coolest show in the Bay Area?
And no white boys. They're cool.
That's what people are saying.
You guys are phenomenal.
This is one of the most perfect ways that I could end my day, getting a chance to talk to Mr. Mark and Dan, you know?
We'll let you be the judge.
Oh.
All I know is it's a couple of Bay Area boys talking sports.
I know nothing.
Thanks.
It's Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Oh, okay. Okay. That's a 3-1 lead for the Golden State Warriors.
Did they win?
You were in the building.
It was more than nerve-wracking. It was bananas. And I mean, they opened up with a 13-2, and Grandy had it 16-4, and it's like the crowd, the roars, the Warrior chants. I thought that I was in Oakland, and it was amazing. The crowd was great. The T-shirts were on, and, you know, Houston chipped away, and they chipped away, and the crowd got a little bit quieter, but I give the crowd a ton of credit because they were in it. There was a blank you Dylan chant in the fourth quarter. There was a lot of ref you suck going on, which, you know, doesn't really hit me the same way it does most people, but the crowd was into it. The thunder sticks that I know trigger you from the Angels back in the day.
2002, how you doing? I probably should get over it by now.
It's only been 23 years
ago.
The crowd was into it. They were animated. They were awesome. And I was just so happy to be in the building.
I can't wait to for everybody, by the way, all of you too. This is one of those games where it's kind of like, give us a call and share your perspective. How did you watch this one and sort of like what stood out? Dibs and Grandy were in the building. I was at Splash next door. The chicken nachos didn't disappoint
again. Okay, good, good.
Incredible.
And how was the crowd at Splash?
Oh my God.
It was like beyond full.
Oh my, out of control.
Okay.
Out of control.
Yeah.
Like, there's nothing, like, I love being at a great sports bar restaurant.
And every screen on
every
the game.
Every screen.
There wasn't, like, one golf channel in the corner or, like,
no one's like
tennis channel.
Yeah, we got Lumberjacks in the high right corner.
The quarterfinals at Monte Carlo.
All Warriors.
Okay.
Music during the commercials.
Oh, nice.
In the second half.
Okay.
Because it was getting late. First half, they went in and played the commercials. Like, it's a little hot for a commercial. It's a little much. You know what I mean? But then music during the commercials in the second half. And then all sound right between the eyes. Kevin Harlan is giving it to us there. Every TV, every table, every person, making friends, buying shots.
Oh, so good.
Dude, shots on a Monday night. Shout out to our new friends, Jacob and Shane, who listen to the show religiously. I see you guys, and I didn't have so much that I didn't remember your names either. Jacob and Shane, thank you for saying
Jacob
hi.
Jacob and Shane.
It's the first shot I've done on a Monday night in about, ever. Great. Let's drink.
Since college, dude.
How about some shots?
Dude, it was a big game. It was before the game even started.
Oh, my God.
I'm like, sure, we're not going anywhere for 3.5 hours.
Yeah, yeah.
And little did I know, it was more like four. That felt like the longest game in history.
Totally.
But, yeah, like, we want to really hear how everybody soaked this thing in. Because, Dibs, that was my takeaway. Newfound, if this can even happen, new level of appreciation for Jimmy Butler. Because it's, and I don't want to make it sound like it's all about him, but he's the one who re-elevated it. A re-elevation sensation.
That's a couple of bucks,
like,
I think.
This is never not going to be Steph's house, but the last couple of years have been frustrating in that it feels like, okay, dynasty dying, let's just enjoy Steph. Oh, we'll make the playoffs if we can. I get blown out in the play-in tournament. And that's kind of that was our sphere for a couple years. And when I saw that rebound and what Chase both looked like and sounded like, rewind 4 years, that's what it felt like all over again. Jimmy Butler has brought the Warrior basketball that we know for the last 12 years. He brought it back.
Yeah.
Brought it back. And I knew he was a great player. I didn't know he was this great of a team player. Dude, that rundown of Dillon Brooks that you guys just brought up, he looked like somebody's running the bathroom who had to go. Because he can't move. He can't move. That was so gutsy last night from Jimmy Butler. And to end up as the leading scorer and make the big plays in the final minute on both sides of the ball, I don't know, man. I don't know. I cannot be more impressed and inspired by what this guy has done for Warrior basketball in the last 2.5 months.
Well, and it's really, for me, that entire fourth quarter. And the Warriors had 27 points and he had 14 of them. And that means that the greatest player in franchise history had 3 points. Steph Curry hit a three in the fourth quarter. Right. And, you know, he played 8 minutes and he was largely being harassed and guarded and hounded and the rest of it. But Jimmy Butler, when you got down to the final 3 minutes, every possession was, all right, Jimmy, we're going to give it to you. And, you know, there was one possession where Steph and he ran a little screen roll on the left side or the right side. It was my left and their right. And, you know, Steph got it back and then back to Jimmy and let Jimmy cook and let Jimmy get to the foul line. And he had a couple of layup attempts that were painstaking. And
yep.
He missed one and GP2 had to put back and he missed. And it's like, oh, maybe it's not going to happen tonight. And then you go down the other end and, you know, Draymond's in there and you get a big stop and a big rebound. And it was so much nail biting where the Warriors had chances and then the Rockets had chances. And it came down to, you're right, Jimmy Butler and the whole thing about playoff Jimmy and Himmy Butler and all the other nicknames that we've heard about. We're now seeing it up close and personal, exactly what that is.
I just, man, you just said it. This game, I don't know if y'all felt the same way. I don't know if you felt the same way. You and I watch a little bit differently sometimes, too. Yep. That was stressful. I found that to be, and not enjoyable. It was very enjoyable, but it was stressful, and it was drawn out because it was so damn long. I think halftime happened at 9 o'clock. 9 o'clock.
That's about right.
And I got I got Dubs fans on the East Coast. I'm like, y'all okay? Dude, you got to work in the morning. And they're like, it's halftime. And it's midnight out here. That thing was so drawn out. And what you just said, where it's like, oh, certain possessions, maybe it's not their night. My mind kept oscillating back and forth between 3-1 and 2-2. 3-1 and 2-2. 3-1 and 2-2, and you're just like, dude, that's so different. That's so, so different. And so constantly, from the way both halves started to where you're like, yeah, kick the feet up. This could be an easy one.
Oh, yeah.
And then, nope, here they come, and it would get erased, and you're like, we're going to lose. It's going to be 2-2, and Jimmy can barely run, and this just isn't looking very good. And then Buddy would hit a contested three.
Oh, Buddy.
And you're like, we're going to win the championship. Like, the whole thing is it's an oscillation sensation. It is.
That's
it's just
a buck.
So back and forth.
And pay the over on Buddy references because I said Buddy's name probably 23 times. We set the over on how many times will you say the word Buddy watching the game? And you put it at 4.5, and I said 5.5. And for me, it was probably 23. And at least 3 or 4 of them were, an MFing buddy. And I know there's no cheering in the press box, and I'm not really in a press box.
You're not in the box.
I'm in a press section, but it was so loud that there were a couple times you could hear like, rah! And it's like, oh, that's a press member. And I was one row behind and one row over from Grandy.
I need names.
And Evan. And
who was it?
I don't know who it was.
You didn't cheer?
There was one moment where I went, oh, there was a growl. And it was probably the Buddy Hield step back three where that might have been the like, no, buddy, no. Yes, buddy, yes. Because there was a few of those. Nobody, no.
Oh, they're all
yes,
of them.
Buddy, yes. There was a few of those.
If he like, if he does anything other than shoot in a wide open space, it's no, 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 no. Yes! Love you, buddy. I want to do some stuff with Buddy Hield later on the show.
Yeah, yeah.
He gotta have his own 45 minutes today. We're gonna do a Buddy Hield clear out. We're gonna give him his whole half of the court.
I love it.
I want to talk about him. But Grandy, did you cheer at all? Did you?
And no, people, no cheering allowed.
No cheering allowed.
It's not like I'm cheering. Like I'm up in my out of my seat, cheering. Fist pumping. But there were a couple times where I made audible noises that were not like, oh, I'm gonna go ahead and write that in my sturdy little notebook. And one of them was when Buddy hit that step back three to give him the lead because they were down four, and it's like, oh god, okay, they're down four, and you know Van Vliet hit the three to put them up four, and it's like, okay. If this guy's going to do that, well, then...
Tip your cap.
Exactly. But I wasn't ready flag it, but no, I was like, okay, no. If this is what we're doing, if Fred Van Vliet is going to go for 30, then what are we doing?
I know. I mean, I had somebody tweeted at us actually during the game. They're like, I thought you guys said this guy stunk.
Maxwell. Like,
he does.
I know, Mike.
Like, don't do that. You're being like my dad. I always joke about this. My dad... This would be a great example. If my dad were to, and he now lives in LA and he's not coming up here to go to a Giants game, but if he were to go to a Giants game this year, and let's say Jung Hoo Lee took an 0 for 4, he'd be like, I don't know what you're all talking about. This guy sucks. He would take the one game,
right,
and he would be like, well, I saw him. I went and watched him. He sucks. Don't do that the opposite with Fred Van Vliet. Don't decide now that Fred Van Vliet, and I loved it, Reggie Miller, he's a champion and he's got experience. Yeah, these are all true.
Facts, they're facts.
He sucks.
Well, he didn't sucks, last night.
And he found the zone. Welcome to the zone. I'm going to bet on the under for Fred Van Vliet's points the rest of the series.
And you're probably safe to do that, yes. But when Fred Van Vliet was on Toronto and they beat the Warriors,
was better then.
He was awesome in that series. And they suffered, the Warriors did a couple of calamities, but Fred Van Vliet was better. And so I'm watching that and I'm thinking, okay, is this guy going to really do this? If he does, then okay, I don't know what to say.
Right.
And
what then, do you do? It's like Jalen Green in game two. It's like, what do you do?
Right.
That guy's absolutely so out of his mind.
Jimmy
right
scores
now
to cut it to two, and then Buddy with the step back, and it was a classic no, 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 yes, yes, yes moment. And it was like, Buddy! And then
in Shen Goon's face, like, what are you even doing?
Yeah.
What are you even trying to do? And then it goes in.
Yeah, it goes in because that's Buddy. And I mean, and we can talk about Pods, and
oh,
we will, and
yes,
everything that Pods brought to the table. And, you know, Steph Curry, if you have Steph Curry play like that, which he wasn't bad, but he wasn't Steph Curry.
He was off.
Yeah, he had, three air balls?
A couple air balls, yeah.
The Warriors had three straight air balls.
Well, Draymond's was the funniest.
Oh, God.
Because he had nothing but space, and he wound up. He's like, all right, I got this. And then he let it fly, and then he posed.
Yeah, I know what you're going to say,
Grandy.
He did
the white man can't jump pose, and he held his hand there, and he hit nothing.
Well, he hit the net.
He hit, nothing but net.
And
the
our perspective,
part of the net.
Yes. Dibs and I perspective,
yes,
and all the fans on this side of the on that side of the court, everyone thought it was in. And there was this particular group of fans,
to
my left, that for like 30 seconds after still thought it was in. And
they were
the only two up in the section celebrating. They looked around, eventually figured out it was an air ball, and as quick as possible sat down.
Oh, my God.
There was a good,
that was
like...
the funniest shot that I've seen this
There was a good 300 fans to their left who... So I see... I kind of see out of the corner of my eye that it's an air ball, but I hear the... Rah. And so I look at them, and then I look back at the court, and my friend, who's an ESPN producer, and I'll get her name by the end of the show, she's like, oh, no, that was an air ball.
That was an air ball.
That didn't go in. Yeah. And I was like, it's these damn cataracts. I don't know what to tell you, Jessica.
Oh, my God. That
but the crowd went wild.
It was easily the – like, no, again, one of those things where – when you look back on it because they won, it's funny.
Oh, hilarious.
Right? It's kind of like the officiating. Then everybody, you're all ticked off. Like you're ready for a firmly worded email. And then they win, and you're like, they got a tough job, those refs.
We can get into that. Job. We can get into it.
We'll get into it.
They lost control of the game.
They did.
But then they got it control back. And that's what
they did.
Nobody wants to ever.
I didn't have a huge issue with the refs. I did in the moment, though, just because I didn't understand a lot of what they came out from their reviews to say. I'm like, I don't understand what you're even talking about.
Right.
But anyway, we can get into it. We'd love to get into it with you. Steve Kerr's on at 5. That's it. We've cleared the decks outside of Steve just for you. So call right now, 888-957-9570. That was an experience game. What was your experience? Where'd you watch? How'd you bring it in? What did the experience feel like? We're sponsored by LifeSource Water Systems. 888-957-9570. Nothing but your calls today. Let's do it on Willard and Dibbs.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
Can't get enough baseball? Start streaming MLB Network today. Get up to 15 out-of-market games a week live on any device, plus 24/7 access to MLB Network's award-winning shows, including live game look-ins and exclusive player interviews. And hear live radio play-by-play from all 30 clubs with MLB at Bat. Enjoy the home of baseball from virtually anywhere. Plans start as low as $5.99 per month. Sign up now at MLBNetwork.com/stream.
Available in the U.S. only. Blackout restriction applies. Visit MLB.com/subscribe for full terms and conditions.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today.
And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Hand off Curry on the sideline. Curry in trouble. Trapped behind the back to Butler. Butler with three. Takes the jumper. Got fouled by Dylan Brooks with 2.7 on the shot clock. Wow.
Yeah, wow.
No, we're not having fun. Give me a rec for this. I don't like Dylan Brooks. So we're never having fun. I'm a fierce competitor. He's a fierce competitor. There ain't nothing fun about that.
Dub Nation, it's the voice of the Warriors, Tim Roy. You're listening to Willard and Dibbs on 95.7 The Game.
Dylan Brooks, also the man who fouled Jimmy Butler on the big rebound at the end.
Yep.
There is nothing more Bay Area sports satisfying right now than when that look hits Dylan Brooks' face. That look of, crap, we just lost.
Yeah.
That's the most satisfying thing in Bay Area sports right now.
And the other one would be when he twirls his finger trying to get a review and his own team ignores him because, you know, Jimmy fouled you. Yeah, it was no flagrant. It was no anything else. And even with the Steph Curry double tech moment where he fouls Steph and he kind of chucks him to the ground and Steph goes, that's two on you. And Dylan gets all mad because, you know, Steph Curry had the wherewithal to know how many fouls was on Dylan.
Well, and he punched at the ball while Steph was, like, in the process of getting up. Let's go there. And 888-957-9570, I wanted to read this, too. This is kind of funny, and it goes in the line with Dylan Brooks on the Boxer and Gerson work injury attorney's text line. 307 texted in and said, yes, it's an okay, it's an experience game. My experience is I now sports hate Houston as much as I sports hate Memphis and crew like Desmond Bane and Ja Morant. I didn't think it was possible. And the playoffs will do that to you. It's the same ugly mugs every other night for a week and a half to 2 weeks, and it gets you. It absolutely gets you. And the Warriors have tangled with Dylan Brooks specifically a lot in the playoffs. And every time there's extracurricular, so I get it. I get it. I will say this about Dylan, though. He's a different player than he was in Memphis. He's a better offensive player now than he was a few years ago. Or he's just getting more chances than maybe he did in Memphis.
Yeah, I think that's it.
He's got more skill than I realized. Don't get me wrong. I still would not cross the street to help him out. But he's an effective player. And, man, he gets under your skin. So, okay, the play that you're referencing. Here's my thing. And maybe this isn't fair. I don't want this to sound homerish. I would say it if the other was true. I don't understand the idea of a technical foul for quote-unquote taunting. Here's why. I'm not saying in general taunting can't be a tech, because that's what they teed up Steph for. Taunting. Yep. They used the word. Have you seen one play in the playoffs where there isn't taunting? Jimmy Butler, like they've read his lips, is literally in front of the refs calling Dylan Brooks a bum and a B and an N-word and all this right in front of the referee's face at the free throw line while they're standing there. That's not taunting?
I mean, you're just expressing your opinion of another person. That's all.
I mean, I don't know, man. That seemed like a funny word to me.
Yeah.
How the hell are you going to watch these playoffs and pick out one thing where Steph Curry held up a couple fingers and decide that that's taunting? They're taunting each other on every play. I didn't get that. Brooks was the one who reached in and started whacking at the ball while right. He was getting up. He's also the one
after
who
he got taunted.
And he committed the foul prior to that.
Exactly. So that common foul.
That one was on him. If you want to call a tech, that one was on him. You didn't even need to call a tech. Dude, let him get up and walk away.
Well, you did because he came in and he punched at the ball. And so that
so
is
then that's a tech.
That's right.
On Dylan Brooks.
And it was all provoked by Steph Curry and the taunt of the, you know. Again, I'm not saying that is like every taunt is not equal, but watching the replay, and I was in the press box and I was like, that's going to be a classic double tech and we move on. And then Draymond got, you know,
he caught a stray.
And
he caught a Draymond. We should just start calling it a Draymond.
Not a stray, but
like
a Dray.
You're in the neighborhood, Draymond, so you get one too.
He caught a Dray.
Right.
And in this moment, I thought that he actually was coming in to try to keep the peace.
Yeah.
And his version of keeping the peace is like pushing people away. Not aggressively, but he was trying to, you know, clear the area.
Look, I thought everything Dray did in that moment was trying to protect Steph.
Agreed.
Dray turned into an offensive lineman if you went and knocked the quarterback down after the play. He's going to come protect you. So I'm with you. I didn't think Dray needed a technical
there. I didn't either. I thought it was a classic, like, yeah, Steph gets one because it's a taunt, and whether or not that taunt is equal to every other taunt you're talking about, you're right. But, you know, for it to come from Steph and Dylan reacts, fine. Double text, we move on. But then Draymond catches one, and that's the moment where I thought that the refs lost a little control of the game, and I don't really blame them that much because that game was so physical and so intense. How do you really, quote, keep control of that game? It's almost impossible in that moment to keep control of it.
I agree.
You know?
I agree. I mean, you look at the personalities are on the floor, the size, the urgency, everything that's going on, the physicality. I don't know how you calm everybody down. And again, we don't want this stop-start nature. We don't want everything called. So I didn't really have a big problem with the fouls that were called in the game. I just thought that when they went to review, they came out with very weird answers.
Yeah.
I'm like, wait, that's what you went and looked at? You went and found that Draymond Green, who essentially did nothing in the situation you're talking about, gets a technical. And then on the next one, when he gets tangled up with Tari Eason, you decided to call a flagrant when he's literally pulling at the guy's shorts and people are yanking jerseys. I'm like, those are classic technical fouls, but you didn't want to call a technical foul.
No,
because then Draymond's out of the game. So you just came out and you went, yeah, flagrant foul. I'm like, that's not a flagrant foul. No, I didn't think.
You could look at what he did with his feet. And
okay.
And he has a history of his feet being involved with other players.
I would have called that a technical then, if that's how you felt about the feet, because it was kind of after the whistle had blown. So that, like, I would have called that a technical.
Yeah, and instead, I mean, you called it a flagrant because you knew that he had a tech, and so I do think that it was a little bit of an easy way to punish him without having him be kicked out of the game, because honestly, neither of the two things that Draymond Green was involved in were ejection worthy. Like, the first tech I thought was a soft tech. He was kind of coming in, I thought, to try to, you know, keep the peace. And the second one, where he kind of rat-a-tats Eason with his shoes, that's not a flagrant two. That might be a flagrant one or a tech.
And then who's my man who tackled Butler? Was that Eason also? Was that Tari Eason?
I think so.
Who tackled Jimmy Butler? And they're like, I saw it and I'm like, oh my God, that, like, horrible foul. And they're going to review it for flagrant. He tackled Jimmy Butler and they go, we're going to review it. And I was sitting there in Splash. I'm like, yeah, that's going to be a flag. That's going to be two shots on the ball. And those cats went over there for about 3 minutes and they walked out and went, we've got a foul on Steph Curry. I'm like, what? Where are you? Like, what? And then they show the replay and decide that Steph Curry, who kind of fingernails Tari Eason,
right,
in other words, shoved him into Jimmy Butler. I'm like, that is the most wackadoodle answer you could have come out of your booth with. Go back in your booth and try again. That's an incorrect answer.
Just please don't go back in your booth, because that thing was 2 hours and 50 minutes.
Holy
and
crap.
Like, an NBA game is supposed to be about 2 hours, two and change.
Two, yeah, 2:15 in the playoffs,
sure,
I'll give you that.
Sure. I think it was 2:50. And, you know, by the time we got out of there, we got to our car. It's like, okay, now it's 10:30. And, you know, it's going to be a long night now.
I don't want to call her out. Lovely Christy looks at me. The fourth quarter is about to start. And we've already, like, we've kind of had the drinks that we're going to have. We've had the food that we're going to have.
Yep.
Servers come by about five times and gotten the no thanks, we're fine kind of a thing. And she looks at me and she's like, I'm kind of getting bored. I'm like, what? It's a two-point game. She's like, it was a two-point game 2 hours ago. It's still a two-point game. Can we get some flow going? And then the fourth quarter was incredibly entertaining.
Yeah,
but yeah, dude, that was a journey. That was a long
no
cruise.
Doubt. And I was thinking about you because, you know, you didn't call me out on the air, but you guys, you and Granny are both like, hey, you going to stay for the whole game?
Yep.
And I was like, well, you know, if it's a 12-point game with four to go, I'm out and this and that. And so I'm sitting there and this thing is like, yeah, 4-point game, it's a 2-point game, it's a 3-point game. And I'm like, well, there's no way I'm leaving this thing early. This is one of the greatest games I've ever been to in my life. And then I look down at my watch and it's 9:45 and we got 5 minutes to go in the fourth. And I'm like, oh boy, I mean, it's gonna be a late one, but there's no way I'm leaving this game.
Be honest, at 11 o'clock at night when you're sitting in lot A traffic,
yeah,
were you mother bleeping me and Grandy?
No.
For telling you needed to stay to the
I
end.
I was on the phone with my wife talking about, will Safeway be open for me to get infant Tylenol? So I actually had stops
yes.
to make. The
how,
answer is yes.
Yeah, how late your Safeway
I didn't
open.
See you in the aisles. They're open
Not
till
that
2.
One. They're open till 2. Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
So by the time I got to that Safeway and, you know.
Now, yeah. I was doing dishes because my children don't know to clean up after themselves when they get their own dinner.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's what I was doing at midnight. No, I was doing dishes.
It's great. I got home at about 11:40 and at about 1:07, my daughter woke up screaming. So I got about 48 minutes of sleep last night,
oh, good.
Which was pretty cool.
Oh, that's 40,
and here we are.
48 minutes more than we used to get in college.
Dude, no doubt.
That's okay.
But I'm no longer 20 years
You're
old.
You're not, are you? 888-957-9570. We want to hear your experience. That's what we're sharing. And this was an experience game. And just, I want to know when this Jimmy Butler staircase is going to end. Cause I keep climbing. I keep finding a new level of appreciation and a new level of respect. And sure, some of that is because he now wears the jersey for which I root. I'm mature enough to notice that. But at the same time, like, I didn't know a lot of this about Jimmy Butler. I watch a ton of hoops, and I know how great of a player he is. I didn't know this. I didn't know he was this self-aware. I didn't know he was this thoughtful. I didn't know, and I mean that as a basketball player. I don't know if he sends thank you notes to people, but like even the way he's picked a different angle with each teammate, right? Steph, there's the ultimate respect. You're Batman. Draymond, there's almost like a, hey man, you and me are kind of on the same level. We're going to be the tough guys on this team. Buddy, you're going to be over here and we're going to do nothing but make fun of each other the whole time. Every time, no matter what. We're going to make it sound like we hate each other even though we love each other. Quentin Post, that's my little rookie over there. It's my guy. That's my crazy man. I like Quentin. He's selected a different angle with each player, which is unbelievable leadership. Incredible leadership.
In 2 months.
In two months.
Right.
And they've lost 9 basketball games since he got here. I don't know, man. I don't, like, I did not expect this from Jimmy Butler. He is so well-rounded with everything that he's doing for this team.
And the point you make is an interesting one because, you know, you watch a lot of, especially college basketball players, where you all have your handshake with each person and all the rest of it. And that's kind of what Jimmy Butler's brought to this team, where you mentioned it. He's got his own relationship with each individual player, and it's only been 2 months. And it's like each of these guys kind of has their own thing with Jimmy, and maybe it's not a secret handshake that they all have and you know when they go to the bench, but Jimmy Butler is a guy who has that respect from the young guys and he's got the respect from the old guys and he came in and he's just doing his thing, but he made it so that everybody wants to fit in with him.
And he played through such pain.
Yeah.
I mean, it was so clear how much pain he was in.
Especially the first 3 quarters. Oh. And then somehow he was able to get through it.
And whether it's been bad or even just a mild one, we've all done that. We've all landed on the tailbone.
Oh.
And it's brutal. It's absolutely brutal. And so every step he took last night, it was like we all felt it. We all felt that. And you're just like, oh, man. But for him to power through that and be the team's leading scorer and hit all the free throws and make all the heady plays down the stretch and sky through the air like he was Giannis for the ending rebound.
Right?
I don't know, man. Wow. Wow. He has just wowed me since he's gotten here. We'd love to hear your experience. How'd you take this one in? And what was your stress level like during the game? Let's go to Zia in San Ramon. Hey, Zia, what's going on?
Hey, guys, what's going on? Thanks for having me on. Big fan. Stress level was paramount, as you can imagine. But I think, you know, midway through, I had this realization where I realized, you know, that this is actually the best matchup for us to have early on. Because not because of the reasons most people say, oh, the Rockets are an easier matchup than the, you know, Lakers or anybody else like that. But because I think the physicality that they bring and the way that they face card Steph and they double and triple team him and the way that they run their two big man offense or rather defense, it makes it so that we've had to get really creative and it's a grit and grind environment for us as a team to score. And I think what I realized at that point, I was thinking to myself, the way that this physicality is and the intensity is here, the future series that we may find ourselves in and we will find ourselves in, I just think that they're going to come a lot more easier. There's going to be a lot more motion and fluidity for Steph and for the team to get going compared to this series. So the stress level during the game was absolutely sky high, but at some point there was this realization that it's not that this is the hardest it's going to get, but I think this is the most physical that it's going to be right now, and I think we're going to see better offense going forward.
Zia, thanks for the call. It's an interesting point. I don't know, though, if that's actually the case. I know it feels that way. We're in it right now if you're a Warrior fan, and therefore you look at this and you're mad at the Rockets, and you're like, boy, these cheap shots, and they're getting under your skin, and the physicality is out of control, right? All the other series feel that way about themselves, too. Chris Finch has literally actually been the one, and that's the head coach of Minnesota, who right now, the most likely scenario, has the Timberwolves and Warriors playing next, if both of them can get one more win. They both play tomorrow night with an opportunity to do it on the road. But Finch is literally the one who has publicly stated, dude, we got to do something about the physicality in these playoffs. It's too much. And what's sort of coincidental or ironic is he coaches the team that after game one against the Lakers, J.J. Redick came out and went, we were not ready for the physicality
right.
that Minnesota had. The Knicks and Pistons are literally brawling with one another. Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown and Kristaps Porzingis have all been assaulted by the Orlando Magic in a series that they're kind of cruising through. So I know right now we think this is as physical as it gets. I don't know if that's the case. I don't know that it might just be this way the whole way, which is, if you're the older team, it is a fearful proposition.
Well,
quite frankly,
I think it's more about being the smaller team that makes it a little bit more difficult because, you know, Jimmy is 6'5 and Draymond is 6'6 and Pods is 6'3 and so is Steph, maybe. And so GP2 is 6'3. You've got a really small team compared to what Minnesota would possibly bring. And, you know, Minnesota's got so much more size with Naz Reid and Rudy Gobert and the rest of it. So I do think that part of the physicality comes from the perceived lack of size here.
Let's keep going. 888-957-9570. Spencer in Oakland is next. Hi, Spencer. Thanks for the call.
Hey, folks. Thank you for taking my call. The other day I called in after a loss, and, you know, we had a lot of folks calling in that were pretty upset. And, you know, somebody didn't get minutes last night. I won't say the name, but I don't hear anybody complaining today. And I will just say that my stress level last night was through the roof. I mean, for sure, we needed that game. You don't want to go back tied 2-2.
Yep.
You don't want to give up the advantage that you took when you won game one. And what I will say about the physicality is I do feel like the refs as a group, you know, league-wide, are allowing things to be more physical than we've seen in recent years past. And I'm not necessarily against it. And I really like what I saw from Quentin Post last night. You know, when somebody's on the floor, he came up and just kind of brushed off the Rockets player, kind of pushed him back, helped up his guy, really kind of getting in the middle of things as your seven-footer should. And I think we have a couple guys like that with Loon and Quentin Post that, you know, if a forearm shiver is required, a forearm shiver can be given. I'm not saying anybody should ever hurt anybody, but the physicality, if this is the way the league wants it now, we have folks on our team that can hang. And you know, I'm glad that Draymond did not get another tech. I'm glad that kick was not called, although I think the first technical was definitely based on reputation. And I really look forward to them going and just finish this thing out on the road, take it from them, and come home and get that nice rest for Jimmy and Steph and let them be fresh next series.
That'd be
thanks
great.
For taking my
call. Yeah, Spencer, thanks for making it. That'd be great. That'd be great if they could do this tomorrow night. It's going to be hard.
It will
be
hard.
It's going to be very hard.
It doesn't necessarily mean that you would get the rest that you think. And Tim Kawakami actually had a great comment on this where if you have all these series that are ending early,
yeah,
like you and I talked about yesterday, how many series will go six or more? And I said maybe one.
The East
and
might be done tonight.
Correct.
Yeah.
You've got all that's going to be done. And if Minnesota wins and the Warriors win, well, the only one that would be more than six would be the Clippers in Denver. Six or more
right.
would be that. So if Minnesota and the Warriors both win tomorrow, memo to Warrior fans, that series starts this weekend.
Yes. Not Friday, though.
No.
You would get multiple days off. I don't know if it'd be Saturday or Sunday, but yes, they will.
That's the point, like, though.
The TV stations need the games.
Correct.
And so they're not going to just let everybody sit
but
there.
But if the Lakers
earned
and Rockets both win tomorrow, then that series probably won't start until Monday or Tuesday.
Correct. But yeah, like, then I'd also say the idea of the Warriors and Wolves both winning on the road tomorrow, they're both underdogs. Improbable. So we'll see. Yeah, I agree with you. Your ideal scenario is Warriors win and Lakers win. So you should be a Laker fan tomorrow night.
Right.
And so that series has got to keep going because that will earn. That's how you would actually earn optimum rest. So we'll see. Many more of you want to weigh in. We're coming to you, okay? Ben and Dub Dad, everybody else, we're brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you, here for good. Also, the moment that Coach Kerr outdid Coach Udoka last night. We want to get to that. Coming up next, this is Willard and Dibs.